The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you this Christmas Eve, Christmas morn, and as we go about our lives this week and always. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Extended family, love them or be driven crazy by them. We need them. Sometimes we wonder why we have no peace when all we really want is peace in our lives. We have all these false leads that we think will fulfill us and give us peace, but nothing really satisfies. Mother Teresa once said, "We have no peace because we forget that we belong to one another." We continually are being called back to humble ourselves before the one who made us and claims us as God's beloved, forgiven child in baptism. Here we are this Christmas Eve, returning to the story of God's own incarnation into the flesh of our very lives. We hear how Mary and Joseph are returning to Joseph's hometown with a very pregnant and unwed Mary. The angel Gabriel had told Mary she would be the one who would bear the Christ child and told Joseph he was to trust God and go ahead and marry Mary, even though the child is not his. So despite being back at home, Joseph and Mary find no shelter with Joseph's extended family, who would have normally taken them in, which was custom in their day. Perhaps Joseph knew his family too well and was protecting his fiance from potential stoning, typical punishment for unwed pregnant mothers in those days. So Mary and Joseph are blessed with shelter with the animals in order to bring Jesus into the world. What humble beginnings for Jesus and scary and uncomfortable beginnings for Mary and Joseph. Yet they rejoice as they trust in God's fulfillment of the prophecy that came through their willing participation to bring our Lord and Savior into this world for the salvation of all people. What do they have to fear? After all, God is with them and for them. A few years ago in a state far away, we would drive by a great big banner every Christmas. Instead of saying Merry Christmas, the banner said, Merry Christians. Merry Christians. It makes you pause and wonder, why are Christians so merry? Well, not all Christians are merry, I admit. But perhaps the ones who are keep returning to God with their problems, with their thanksgivings, with their willingness to humble themselves and learn more about who this Christ child is that we celebrate and worship every Sunday, and who fills us with grace visible in the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion, and who sends us into the world on mission to love God with our every being and love our neighbor as ourselves, returning to God when we fail to do so, which is every day, multiple times at least. Perhaps Christians are merry because no matter what is going on in the world, we know we have a Lord who reigns over all the brokenness of this world in our lives with grace, who promises us new beginnings every day we confess our sin, and who promises to be with us in the challenges of our lives and calls us to be there for others in the challenges of their lives. Perhaps we are merry Christians because we know that we are broken. We are sinners, but made saints through Jesus' love, mercy, and grace on the cross, gifted to us in baptism, which is a healing balm to soothe us and for us to share with others. Perhaps Christians are merry because, like the angel Gabriel who met the outcast shepherds and shared the good news that our Lord and Savior was born, called them out of isolation to come and see the good news, and calls us out of our isolation, out of our loneliness, into community, remembering that through Jesus, we are made one body with all our differences, and that we belong to one another to help and uplift, encourage and admonish, and bestow grace upon grace as we receive grace upon grace, so that we might rise together above all that seeks to keep us down. Perhaps Christians are merry because we believe, as St. Paul shared with the Romans, if God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Perhaps we are merry Christians because even when we get it wrong, and we often do, when we humble ourselves before our newborn King, the one crucified and risen for the salvation of the world, we too can give glory to God in the highest, that Jesus makes us right in the sight of God and raises us to new life in him, cleansing us from our sin in the waters of baptism, where God sees our sin no more, and freeing us to love and serve our neighbor as ourselves. Not because God needs it, but because we belong to one another, and we need it. Merry Christmas, merry Christians. May you, like the shepherds, glorify and praise God for all you have heard and seen, as the angel told the shepherds the good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. Merry Christmas, merry Christians. Jesus Christ is born. Amen.